I draw your attention to 2 Kings chapter 5. This is not the message I intended to preach, but it's something that God has laid upon my heart while we were singing those hymns this morning. And I simply want to make some observations. I want to read 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 19, and then make some observations upon it. The Hebrew is Naaman. Naaman, but we know him as Naaman, so I will simply pronounce this man's name as Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given great deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord. Actually, the word "one" is italicized. He went in. That's the reading of the Hebrew. Naaman himself, hearing this from the slave girl he had taken captive out of Israel, came and told the king, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to. Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth neither offer burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Naaman, the commanding general of the Syrian Empire, was a courageous and mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. He had a spot, I think probably on his arm, some place that was visible. It was just a spot. But it signaled that this disease was terminal. He was, in effect, as good as dead. It was simply a matter of time, the sloughing off and the rotting of flesh. Here was a man who had everything, but he was a leper. And in this he is a picture, is he not, of the sinner? Important, good health, young, powerful, promising, and yet we all carry within us the sentence of certain death. You may not, in your visage, your expression, or your body this morning, bear to other people the signs of the reigning power of sin and its ultimate effects, but you have a death sentence upon you. Before the wrinkles come, before the sags and bags of old age, before the hair turns gray, here in the blossom of your youth, you have a death sentence upon you from Almighty God, because you are a sinner, the child of sinners all the way back to Adam, a sinner by imputation, a sinner by nature, and a sinner by your own willfulness. You are, my friend, as good as dead. And I would seek to drive this into your heart and your mind with all the force that I have. You are dead. Nothing can set that aside but the saving grace of God and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. It was not the fame of Israel that brought Naaman to that country. It was the word that there was there a prophet that would recover him of his leprosy. It drove him to give great wealth. It drove him to change his entire life. And it finally humbled him, because more than anything else, he wanted to be clean. I trust that God will bring you into the most disturbed state you have ever been, that you might be delivered of the leprosy of sin and brought to Jesus Christ. He was a great man, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Who? Jehovah had given deliverance unto Syria, but they were Israel's enemies. Do you not think that our God is God in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Russia? Do you not think that to judge this nation He might raise up and give victory to our enemies? You see, God is not only sovereign for those who lightly believe in God and country. God is sovereign everywhere. He's sovereign in heaven. He's sovereign in hell. The devil is not the king of hell. Jesus Christ is the king of hell. He's king everywhere. When we come to terms with the sovereignty of God in our own minds, we limit Him to a great degree. We are told here that God is sovereign in giving victory to the enemies of Israel. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little girl. She was now a slave. She had seen her parents killed by Naaman and his men. She had seen women having their stomachs ripped open and their fetuses smashed against a wall. She had seen the atrocities of these pagan Syrians. She had not one reason to do any good to her captors, and yet she did. Think about that, my fellow Christian, when we gossip about our brothers and sisters for whom Christ died. Think about that with our awful attitude toward the people of God and how we take church attendance lightly. And our whole service to God, we think, is a favor to Him. And she said unto her mistress, who had, of course, the power of life and death over this slave girl. She wasn't a hired servant, she was a slave. She was the plunder of warfare. Would God, here's an oath, not an ignorant oath, but a very intelligent oath, would God, my Lord and Master Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She knew about Elisha. That means she probably came from a godly family. A godly mother, a godly father, godly brothers and sisters who had all been put to the sword. Their godliness did not preserve them in the day and hour of trial and death. They were murdered. They were killed. And it happens to God's people. Verse 4, and he, that is Naaman, so reads the Hebrew, went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. She spoke to her mistress, and her word came before the king. And we are so fearful of speaking a word about God because it might prove to be embarrassing or bring upon us some disapprobation of society. This little girl spoke, and her word came to the king. Naaman never doubted what she said. The king did not doubt what she said. Everybody took her at face value. What a life she must have lived as a slave girl who had every reason to hate her captors and yet did them the kindest service she possibly could. What a reproach to those of us who profess to know Jesus Christ. To us, Christian charity is simply a dream. We are so self-centered. We would certainly help our friends if push came to shove. But to help a stranger, we would not. But this little girl is going to shake a kingdom by speaking the truth concerning God. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed. and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. This is a pagan king. He's going to buy the cure. That's paganism. You offer your wealth unto your God. He didn't know any better. He also thought that the letter should be sent to the king of Israel, who was Ahab's son, his second son. The first one had died. This was Amaziah, the second son, who ruled for 12 years. He naturally thought that such a prophet of God, such a man of God, would be in the king's court. This pagan king knew more about God and his servant than the king of Israel did. God's people get a bad rap in this chapter. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. An expression of fear and grief. And said, Am I God? Elohim. Not Jehovah. He didn't know Jehovah. He didn't know the Lord God. God was a theory to him. He was a worshiper of Baal. Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Consider, I pray you. If I had an opportunity to speak to this new administration coming in, 1976, June of 1976, I opened United States Congress in prayer, Washington, D.C. It's in the congressional record, if you want to go back that far. They didn't edit my prayer, but they looked it over again. I would take this text, consider, I pray. The king nor his court knew of Elisha. They could only think in political things. They couldn't think spiritually. They were spiritually dead. They were strangers to spiritual reality, just like our government, completely secularized. And the king rent his clothes. He had reached his extremity, and so it is with all government officials who cannot think in spiritual terms. Word goes throughout the capital city of Samaria, and evidently Elisha maintains a house close by. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, and this is rather ironic and sarcastic, is it not? Amaziah had met Elisha one time in a great crisis. He and Jehoshaphat had gone to war against the kingdom of Edom. And all of these kingdoms came against them out into the desert. And Amaziah said, God has gathered these kings together to defeat them. We're going to die of thirst. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of God here whom we may acquire? And someone said, here is Elisha who poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was servant to that prophet. He came and he began to speak to Jehoshaphat. Amaziah said, God has gathered these kings together to kill them. He said, were it not for the presence of Jehoshaphat, I would neither look to thee nor recognize thee. Get thee to the gods of thy mother and father. His mother was Jezebel. His father was Ahab. Now,
Ahab was already dead. Were it not that Jehoshaphat was here, I would look toward thee no regard. He didn't know about Elisha, forgotten all about him. Such is the role of the men of God in society, forgotten and unwanted. That's the ministry, isn't it? Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? That's sarcastic. That's ironic. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. You won't know it. You don't care to know it. Legislate your immorality. Rule by the pagan gods. But he will know that there is a God in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Verse 9. Now, Syria is the enemy of Israel. There's been constant war between them for years. At this point in time, they are both under the influence of Assyria. So there's no open warfare. No doubt, however, Naaman has come with a great entourage. He's in his chariot, his war chariot. His bodyguard is beside him. He has a troop of armed men, and he has a caravan of wealth to buy the cure. This great entourage stands now with all of their importance at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That's an insult. Naaman is a mighty general. He's the greatest man in all Syria next to the king. He's standing there with armed troops. He's standing there with his great entourage. Doesn't Elisha recognize this? Yes. He sent a message to a leper. Isn't there a lesson in this? Yes, there is, as we shall see. But Naaman was wroth. Now you need to look at the Hebrew text for this. But Naaman was wroth and paced back and forth. The verb means to go back and forth. But Naaman was wroth and paced back and forth. See him back and forth, back and forth. And what does he say? Look at verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and paced back and forth and said, behold, I thought that surely to me he would come out. And the word come out is the infinitive absolute in the Hebrew. I thought surely to me, emphatically, he would come out, implying that he would come out and bow and do obeisance, recognize the importance and the power of Naaman. Pacing back and forth saying this now. And he would take a stand and call on the name of Jehovah. Amaziah didn't know that name. But evidently that little girl's testimony meant much to Naaman. He knew Jehovah. Even the king of Israel did not. He was stuck with Elohim, a theoretical concept of God. He would call on Jehovah Elohim and wave his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? He's pacing back and forth. He's shouting this. He is mad. He's in a rage. Then he gets back up to his chariot and he turns away in a rage. You see, he had preconceived ideas of how he was going to be healed. Is this not a picture of many? You have a preconceived idea, do you not, how God is going to save you? You must come to Him as a leper, not as a commanding general. You're too filled with pride. You're filled with pride and importance, and you think God should make an exception for you. No. You must come as a leper who needs cleansing. You must come as a sinner.
Naaman's problem was he stood before the door of the prophet as a great, important, powerful, wealthy man.
He had to come as a leper. That he could not do.
Unless you come to Jesus Christ as a sinner and sue for peace through the righteousness of God's Son, you cannot be saved. This is the issue.
And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, underneath all of the pomp and greatness and power of Naaman, he must have been a decent man. The little slave girl honored him, and now his servants call him father. Of course, on the way home, they may have been killed too. He had the power of death. Servants are slaves. His slaves come and bow before him. Do you listen to people who are beneath you? You're too important to listen to one of your relatives, to a son, to a daughter, to a brother, to a sister, to a mother, to a father. Those people you feel are beneath you when they tell you the way of salvation. Do you listen to them? Oh, what do they know? I'm too important. God deals with me, He'll deal with me on my terms. That's what you're saying. No, you must come as a leper. You must come through the blood of Jesus Christ. You must come by faith.
And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some difficult thing, so reads the Hebrew, difficult thing, great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Now Samaria, the city of Samaria, is 32 miles from the Jordan River. They camped someplace that night, and his servants talked to him. And about noon the next day, they had to go across Jordan before they went back up to Damascus. He gets out of his chariot. The whole entourage is watching him. Could preach on baptism. He dipped himself. It's ebaphe in the Greek. He baptized himself. He dipped himself. But we're on something else this morning. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. Time 1, into that muddy water. He comes up. He looks at his arm. He looks at them. They're getting a little shaky. Do you realize that everybody believes the girl but the king of Israel? This is so amazing. But a word spoken by a little girl and the life she lived was enough to change a kingdom. Can't hardly get over that. 6 times he comes up, he looks at his arm, he looks at these men and they're looking at him. The 7th time. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Come in obedience to Jesus Christ. Rest in His righteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Are you too important for this to come as a sinner? The only people who will be saved are sinners, saved from themselves, saved from the wrath and penalty of God's holy law, saved from the reigning power of sin and from its ultimate consequences. But you're too important for that. You're too great for that. You have preconceived ideas. And they're all wrong. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. 32 miles. This is a great thought for those who can't travel 3 miles to come to church. 32 miles. Day and a half. They came back.
Where is the pride? Where is the importance? Where is the greatness? Where is this man who went away in a rage? Where is this man with all of his preconceived ideas?
Stood before him. Now the prophet comes out to see him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." 5 times he refers to himself before the prophet as he bows before him as thy servant. God's not only healed him, God's converted him and humbled him. There's so much pride in the professing people of God today. We're still so important. We're afraid of being humble. We don't know anything about God's grace. This man did. The prophet answers him, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. "Salvation is free, Naaman. What I've done for you is to the glory of God. You can't buy it." And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules' burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord." The law of God states, if you will build an altar to me, you will not build it of stone. If you build it of hewn stone, you've polluted it. You just pile some dirt together and offer your burnt offerings on that. He said, "I want to take some Israelite soil home and build an altar unto the Lord. I will not worship any god but Jehovah alone." This is converting grace. This is converting grace. "In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon," that's the pagan god, he goes to worship, Naaman is his bodyguard. Naaman guards him with his life. "He leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant this thing." I'm going to have to go back to my old life. But I'm going back as a worshiper of Jehovah God. I'm going to live in society. I'm going to live for God's glory. This is what I have to do. This is my position. The prophet said, "Go in peace." There are many who say, of course, that Naaman was not converted. I wouldn't mind having a church full of Naamans. Powerful, important man, commanding general. He had to come as a leper, and when he came as a leper, he was healed and he was humbled and he became generous. That's a mark of grace, isn't it? Became generous. God saved him from head to foot and humbled him at the same time. What a picture. What a picture of a slave girl who had every reason to hate her captors, but spoke the truth of God and sought their good. What a lesson for us as Christians when our feelings have been hurt. Who's murdered your family? Giving you an opportunity to do them good. And she was believed. Who's going to believe a little boy or a little girl? Naaman did. His wife did. The king did. And it was true. Speak the truth. Speak the truth for God. God will honor it. And Naaman. How different he was than the king of Israel, who used the term Elohim when Naaman used the term Jehovah. Evidently, that little girl and the other slaves from Israel that waited on him, he must have learned much from them. Naaman, the commanding general, had a close relationship to God that even the king of Israel was a stranger to. Do we bear the marks of converting grace? Has God been gracious to us? Has He saved us?
What is salvation? It's deliverance from the reigning power and the ultimate consequences of sin, and it's restoration to a healthy state. Can you be delivered from the leprosy of sin? Yes. You must be delivered from the leprosy of sin or you are damned. You have the sentence of death within you. Look to Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Rest yourself in Him. This is your only hope of salvation. Doesn't matter how great you are or important you are. It doesn't matter about all the obstacles. And it doesn't matter how many people are looking at you either. What will my friends think? Naaman could have cared less. The seventh time he came out of the water, he was clean. He had a great entourage looking at him. Didn't make any difference. Many thoughts in this chapter. Enough to convert a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Maybe God will have mercy on you. Father, we pray. Take these rambling remarks. Make them effectual, we pray. Oh, Lord God, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us for the sake of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. We commit this to You in His name. Amen.